WP Late Night, episode number 11, with, well, myself, Ryan Immel, with Dre and Brad, as normal, and also joined by a special guest host, Jason Cohen, which you probably will know best from WP Engine if you are in the WordPress community. Hi, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm conspicuously not in the video, which is sort of like how when celebrities put on sunglasses, even in the studio, so you can't see their eyes, and that, I guess, makes them feel like they're in a position of power. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, way to go, big guy. Way to take over the
That's
world.
Best.
I appreciate it.
I think we all regret the video every week.
It's actually the other way around. I need this as a crutch, so don't get too exciting.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I spent a good 30 minutes trying to find a good sound effect to encompass WP Engine, and I was like really in depth trying to find like a good train choo-choo like sound effect. And after 30 minutes, I was like, this doesn't work. I should stop. So I have nothing.
Well, it could be a car revving.
I was going the train route. I don't know why, but for some reason, WP Engine, just engine, and I don't know. I was thinking train.
You were thinking steam.
Hard charging.
Yeah, steam and a coal truck behind it.
Brad puts a lot of time into figuring out the perfect sound effects for each show.
I spend a sad amount of time doing so.
You know what, Brad? You'll get it one day. You'll get it right, buddy.
One day I will have a WP Engine sound effect. I promise you that.
Something we can all look forward to. So,
and we will make it an autoplay sound on the homepage to to tank our sales.
People love that, right? Yeah.
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 So it is WP Late Night. What is everybody drinking tonight? Dre, we have to start with you because you were causing quite a ruckus during the pre-show.
That was not me. That was all Bradford.
Oh, really?
Over here. He's getting good at it. Sound effect, Brad?
No.
Oh, we missed you. I'm having some Newcastle on tap in my office.
Oh.
We're sipping on some keg beer. Good times.
If you don't have a full keg in your office, you're doing it wrong.
It's funny.
And I don't have a full keg, so.
Dre, I was just about to say you weren't taking the show seriously enough, and now that you have a keg in your office, I can see that we are – The proper status.
It's all about dedication, right?
Yeah, no, I'm glad.
I want to thank the Academy. And what are you guys sipping on? What do you got going on there, Ryan?
I'm doing the standard Irish whiskey tonight.
Oh yeah.
That is me. That is all that I'm drinking tonight.
That is all Ryan. Do I have some Ryan Duff going on in Brad's neighborhood today?
You guys know what I have. I have my Diet Duff.
I love it. Are you sipping on anything?
Yeah, good thing I brought mine to the party. So my drink of choice tonight is Hendrix on ice with cucumber.
Ah.
Oh, man. You really
showed us all up there.
All right.
I don't know. The kegerator, I got to hand it to the kegerator. I think that wins. But, you know, if you're not going to do beer, then do it right, right?
No doubt about it.
I was half tempted to make a really classy, colorful martini and bring it to the table. And then I saw Dre had a keg. I was like, you know what? I'll save it. I'll save it till when Dre does not have a keg. So I don't want to be upstage when I have my fancy martini in front of me.
Ah, good times. Well, that's a deliciousness all around, it sounds like. I think that we put our cups up in cheers for a special birthday this week.
Oh, yes.
WordPress reaches 9 years old. So in roughly 363 days or so, we're reaching 10 years, double digits for our beloved platform. So salute to you guys and gals involved with WordPress from a community standpoint, and happy birthday to WordPress.
9 years is a long time. Let's just go around. How long has everybody been using WordPress in one form or another?
10 years.
I've been
old school.
Years, so yeah.
How many SEO people out there are saying they've been using it for 10 years?
Pre-fork. It's good
stuff. I mean, in the community as a whole, I'm fairly a noob. I mean, I've only been actively using it since 2006, which, you know, 6 years. I mean, that sounds like a long time, but really it's not. I mean, most people I work with or converse with have been on it longer than me. I mean, I started around the 2.2, 2.3 era. So I haven't been around as long as some.
Good stuff. I built my first theme or started building it at the end of 2004 and launched it on my portfolio site at the beginning of 2005.
Wow.
So it was like 1.4 or 1.5 time frame.
Wow. All right, so you're winning so far because I'm around Brad's time. 2006, 2007 is really when I got into it. What about you, Jason?
I think my blog started around 2007, so maybe I'm the youngest, but 4 or 5 years isn't exactly nothing either.
Absolutely,
no, for sure.
So I guess it's been that long.
It goes by quick.
It absolutely does. Wow, 2004, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of crazy. All really by just testing out different platforms, and it just happened to be the easiest one to design and develop something really decent for a non-developer type at the time. So it worked out. Pew, pew.
Wait, now we hear your sound effects. You can
I'm sorry. I'm troubleshooting my sound effects over here. So
I'm I think I fixed so them. Glad you solved that. Would have really missed out on that.
I'm good at derailing conversations mm-hmm. with a good sound mm-hmm. effect.
I pointed this out last year. I didn't bother to on the blog this year since I did it last year. But I think it's funny looking at some of the release notes from the first version of WordPress in 2003. Things like texturize was one feature, which the tagline here is so good it'll make your quotes curl. I think it's kind of fun. WordPress links, so the link manager. XHTML 1.1.
Wow.
WordPress compliant with XHTML standards.
High tech.
I like this one. Highly intelligent line breaks because, and I don't know, I don't work with clients anymore, but is it still the case that clients really complain about like line breaks and issues with the WYSIWYG editor? Is that just not something that happens? I don't know. I remember that from a year ago.
Nice.
So that's just funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of AutoP issues, I think, but yeah. I don't know.
At the time, a new administration interface, manual excerpts, new default templates, which that was pre-themes at that point, right? That was just literally default templates that could be in place. That was pretty much it. That was the notes for the first version. So it's come quite a ways in 9 years.
Wild. Yeah, to having how many active websites running on WordPress now?
Ooh. Well,
over 70 million, I think they said, you know, between .org and .com.
And you guys see quite a bit of those over at WP Engine, I'd imagine. Jason?
Quite a bit of what?
WordPress-driven sites. That was my lame attempt at a segue.
Yeah, like about 10% of them, maybe. The rest of them are Ruby on Rails. That's the – we say WordPress, but we really mean Ruby.
Ruby. I'm sorry. It's my speech impediment after keg beer.
Yeah, it's about the same thing, really. It's on the first approximation. It's all computers making stuff on the web, so.
It's all zeros and ones, right?
Yeah.
At one point. So let's talk about that a little bit, Jason. I know we pre-show we were chatting about this. Like, wow, Jason's coming on the show. It's kind of awesome. Very excited to have him as a guest host. And we wanted to talk a bit about kind of your world and what's going on with WP Engine and how life is so awesome being with you being involved with managed WordPress hosting.
Well, it is, and there's challenges at the same time. So we're growing really fast and. We're hiring like crazy. We have about 20 people now. We're hiring 2 or 3 a month. So on the one hand, everything looks good and rosy and people seem to like what we do and all that sort of thing. And on the other hand, that kind of growth is difficult. And it's not just difficult to continue hiring good people at a rapid clip. Of course, that is difficult and sort of obviously difficult. But the other difficulty that, you know, I guess it makes sense when you say it, but when you're living it, it's very difficult to deal with is, you know, it was just, I don't know, a year ago, there was, I don't know, 4 of us maybe. And even 6 months ago, there's probably 6. And so and now there's 20 and it's not that much time. And so whereas before you could lean over to the next guy and say something, now there's a team of people who need to know stuff and be trained on stuff and, you know, tell customers stuff, and so that all of a sudden you have meetings and training and stuff. What is all this? And if you add 2 or 3 people a month, then you have to have some materials to train them with because, I mean, you can't, although you learn best by doing, still you have to have some stuff to jumpstart them and so on. In other words, that's just a couple of things, but there's 20 things like that where suddenly things are different and there's things you hate, I hate, like meetings or making materials and all that kind of stuff. And yet, if you don't do that, of course, then you'll just burst apart because it's not a sustainable thing with a bunch of new people. So there's plenty of challenges. And because, you know, on the one hand, it's great that we're growing. It's great that people like what we're doing. On the other hand, it is really easy for us to not grow properly and therefore give bad customer service, whether that means technology and the sites go down, or whether that means we're not responsive answering email, or whether it means we are responsive answering email, but then they don't solve the problem or something like that because we're focused on a metric like time to first answer, so they answer, but then there's no you know content there. In other words, like there's all kinds of traps that would destroy the very thing that is earning us this kind of success. And so it's on the one hand, it's one of those, you know, hey, well, I wish I had that problem. You know, it's a good problem to have. Yeah, it's kind of a good problem to have, except when, you know, you have growing pains and, you know, someone has a bad experience and you feel really badly for them because this isn't, you know, that's not the experience you want people to have. But, you know, when you're onboarding hundreds and hundreds of people a month, you know, new people, you know, even if 1% of the time they have a bad experience, which is pretty good, well, that's 4 or 5 people a month that have a really bad experience. That's like a person a week who's like, this is terrible, and wants to go blog about it and yell about it. And rightly so. They're not wrong. That's the other thing that's sort of too bad about it. They're right. So even if you're 99% awesome, you still see all that stuff. So although it's the kinds of problems you want to have, I guess, they're difficult to wrap around, and it's a rapid change. And so just like WordPress, I suppose, about to sprout pubes and get lots of acne and other weird stuff. Let's hope it doesn't, you know, that's kind of how I feel like we're doing, where, you know, it's really cool. Now we get to have sex, except, also, it's difficult, and it's a difficult transition at the same time. We have to be careful not to ruin the thing that's
difficult. Difficult. You're maybe not doing it right, Jason. No,
the last 30 seconds of that segment, ever,
you came up with probably two potential show titles.
Yes, that's for sure.
Well, and yeah. The one before that is hating meetings. See, my biggest pet peeve is having meetings to have a meeting to learn how to have a meeting. Those are the ones that really suck. Brad, I jumped in on you there, bud. What were we going to say?
I just want to go back to the having sex with WordPress comment. That was awesome. And that's probably the best thing we'll hear all night. But definitely hats off. Yeah. You know, running starting a business in general is tough work, obviously. Starting a hosting company, I can only imagine. I mean, I've always found it interesting when people get into the hosting business because it's been a saturated market since day one of the internet. You know, there's been hosts. As long as we've all been on the internet, we've known tons of hosts, right? All of us have. I mean, so I'm curious what kind of sparked the idea of, hey, let's get into hosting, and more specifically, let's get into WordPress-specific hosting.
Yeah, well, you're right that the market's saturated. On the other hand, I don't know. I would say there's a lot of players, and I would say also the market is so vast that saturated is an interesting word. I think on the low end, in other words, on the $10 a month and lower end, with people like Bluehost and Dreamhost and GoDaddy and Lunar Pages or wherever they went now and all that, that's saturated in that, you know, one of those, you know, 8 or 10 companies has you if you want something under $10 a month. And I'm not knocking that, by the way, whatsoever. That is, in fact, the right trade-off of expense and service for, I would say, actually, most people who have WordPress. So I'm not knocking that in the least. It just happens to be low cost. And so I think in that it's saturated in that they're, you know, they sort of own the whole market collectively. But at the same time, if you think about it, well, gee, that's a lot of companies who all have hundreds of thousands and in some cases low millions of WordPress installs. I know the founders of some of those companies personally, so I know that those numbers I just said were true. And so on the other hand, there's room for, you know, let's say a dozen players to have hundreds of thousands of customers. That's kind of insanely big, at least from the point of view of a company like ours, where we don't need or even necessarily want a million users, you know, to be certainly not to be successful, and maybe not ever. because it's simply not what we're targeting. And so in our space, meaning managed WordPress hosting that's in the range of, let's say, $20 or $30 on the low end, and maybe $200 or $300 on the high end for sort of normal sites that get a million page views a month or less or fewer. And then also we have some customers that get actually upwards of 100 million page views a month, if you can believe it. We have actually quite a few in that double-digit millions a month page view range. And so some of those are paying, thousands of dollars, especially with bandwidth and CDNs and so on. So there's that as well. It's a big range. But even staying in the lower end of the 20, 30, or even $100 a month range, you know, there's us and ZippyKid and Pagely, and we're sort of all – we think we're better at this and better at that. We all have our talking points of stuff that we're better at, right? But I think it's fair to say that in the first approximation, it's the same kind of service. We make WordPress fast and it's scalable and secure, and you can talk to somebody in tech support who knows WordPress. That's pretty much the basic thing that we all do. And what I think you're seeing is that all of us are doing well. I think Pagely has a nice growth curve. He used to publish it and look good to me. I assume that it's continued, which would mean it's good. ZippyKid is raising a little money on AngelList, and so published some numbers there. And so similarly, you can see ZippyKid is doing well, and we're doing well. So I think what that shows, since we're all kicked up, we're all doing well, and we don't see each other that much. In other words, when we see a customer, they don't ask very much about Pagely or ZippyKid. And from what I can tell, I talk to Vid at ZippyKid a lot, and he seems to see the same kind of thing. In other words, if you're trying to extrapolate, you know, from the elephant's tail what the rest of the elephant looks like and all that, it seems like in this space that we're in, this managed WordPress hosting, more expensive than the low end, but still affordable for a lot of people, especially people who are serious about their blogs and want a lot more service for, say, $30 a month, we don't seem to be anywhere near saturation. If we're all kicked up, we're all growing, and we don't see each other. It's not like we're growing because we're stealing things from each other, like it might be in the low end in WordPress, or like it is in bug tracking or time tracking or accounting or any of these systems where it's already saturated, it's already done, word processing. And so it's just, who are you stealing a customer from? Who's losing a customer when you gain one? But we're not seeing that in our little segment of the world yet anyway. And so if we're not seeing that at all, if we sort of have this Venn diagram where we don't intersect that much, that implies we're playing in a large universe or large relative to our current size. And so surely someday we'll saturate it, of course, and I don't think any of us know what that point is. You could sort of guess it at the orders of magnitude of maybe 100,000 customers or even 50,000 customers. Hard to say, of course. But I think that just shows we're not saturated yet. We're all filling in a need, a similar need in the market, and we're not saturated yet. So I guess that's my feeling for the whole space. I didn't really answer your question, which was how I got started. So if you want, I can talk about that.
Well, but no, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not you said it perfectly. It's not the market in hosting in general is saturated, I think, is the point that I was trying to make. But in the WordPress hosting, it's not, and there's plenty of room to go around. You know what I mean? And you mentioned my three favorite hosts, which are you guys, Pagely, and ZippyKid. I mean, you three, I think, are the top WordPress-specific hosts that I know of and that I recommend to everybody and that I totally stand behind because I have clients on all three of you, and I love all the work that you three are doing. So I think in the WordPress-specific hosting market, it is not saturated. And just like in the development space, you know, we've talked about this in the past. My company, we're a development design company in WordPress, and we're friends with all the other companies we work with because there's so much to go around, and we're always passing referrals around because we're overloaded. There's so much coming in the door, we just can't handle it. So we're always like, hey, check out, you know, talk to this person, talk to that person, and they're sending us the same, you know, same kind of referrals. So I think it's an interesting point that the platform-specific hosting, there's a pretty big market for, and I think you guys have really nailed it. I mean, I've been a huge fan, especially since Philly. I mean, I'm an organizer of Philly. You guys were one of our main sponsors, and not only that, not only did you come to the plate with big sponsorship money, but you gave every single attendee free hosting for life for one website. And that we didn't ask you to do that, and you didn't need to do that, but you did. And that was like one of the biggest, probably the biggest freebie I've ever seen at a WordCamp for all attendees is free hosting for life is what you gave everybody. And that's, I mean, there's a good value to that, a huge value to that. And you gave it away. So, I mean, that's, you earned a lot of respect from me when you did that. And from the community as a whole. So I'm a huge fan, and I always will be, especially because of that.
Well, thanks. And, you know, I find the generosity comes back. I hesitate to call it karma because that evokes all kinds of other things that some people think are really cool, man, and some people think is really retarded. But I do believe that generosity comes back, just like I believe if you teach people stuff, they come back. That was the basis of my last company. Smart Bear wrote a book and went around talking about how to do code reviews, meaning developers who review each other's work. And just the more I, you know, forget selling the product, forget all that crap. If you just teach people stuff genuinely, if you say, look, I think this is true and I want to show you this stuff, then they come back. They want to reciprocate just because it's kind of what humans do. They want to reciprocate that sort of thing. So it's sort of, you can call it marketing and sales, and it is. But it's sort of the best kind, the kind that is genuine. And so us giving away blogs to the attendees, it's us saying, we think we're really cool. How about this? Let me just give it to you so you can see whether we're really cool. If we're not really cool, then you'll not use it and you won't talk to us anymore. And that's okay. But if you use it and you realize, hey, this is really fast and I tried tech support and you guys did, you know, you guys seem like you're not idiots and all that kind of stuff. Well, then, you know, then we've said, hey, look at us in a generous and friendly way. And if you decide, oh, yeah, I like what I see, well, then good. That's, you know, not all marketing, sales, and business is necessarily bad. And so that's just sort of an example of trying to do it in a way that is good.
Yeah, dollar sign.
Yeah, dollar bills, y'all.
Oh, and boy. So that means you're going to buy me a beer, and if I like it, I'll use it. Right, and then so the story goes.
Well, I mean,
and then I might buy myself another beer.
Well, no, of course you would do that. I mean, if you were a local brewer trying to get stuff into pubs, I would absolutely cart my keg around and say, "Try this. Do you like it? If so, tell the bartender so they'll carry my stuff." I would do that in a heartbeat. Of course, I would. Because if the bartender hears 100 times over 2 weeks, "Hey, carry this. I'll buy it." I'll probably carry it, or, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course I would do that. I think it's a great idea.
I think you need to start making beer and bring it to WordCamps. That's just my thought, you know. Possible, a little moneymaker there.
Barley Press. Barleypress.com. Anybody on that?
Well, you say that, but there was a WordCamp. Let's see, what was it? There was a not a WordCamp. There was just a WordPress meetup in Austin. This was a couple of years ago. And sort of like friends of one of the WordPress engine folks were trying to start up a brewery. And so they were trying to get people interested. And so we said, hey, well, we'll sponsor you. Come on out to the thing. We'll put you in the WordPress meetup. You give away the beer. We'll pay for that stuff. And then you'll get to, you know, show the beer to 60 geeks. And we did that. So actually we did that.
I want more beer. When am I coming out to a meetup where there's beer? That sounds delicious.
Yeah, that is a good idea. You know, I was worried about the liability of that because technically, if you give beer to somebody at a meetup like that and they leave and get in an accident, you are liable, at least in Texas. And that has always frightened me. And so on the one hand, you know, it's really cool to have beer at work and do that kind of thing. And I want to. And on the other hand, in general, you want to do it anyway, and like lots of big companies do who are normally worried about liability and have lots of lawyers. So, you know, I do get that. And on the other hand, you know, the sort of the frightened lawyer-addled part of me says, yeah, but I don't want that. You know, so I don't know what to do about that. Maybe
we buy the beer. For us at WordCamp San Diego, I know that the first year we ended up having – the speaker sponsor social at the hotel, right? So hey, you've got the option to stay here and the whole night, but it was a major concern. So I definitely see where you're coming from there. Major liability.
So this guy, so Bart says he wants to know how many did we start with and how we go about hiring people. Yes, it is a struggle. Of course it is. And to answer that better, maybe you can do this here while we're talking, but it's easier if I know more about the situation. Like, is it that you don't have money at all, so you kind of want people to put an elbow grease, and how do you get around doing that? Or no, you do have money, it's just hard to find talent, and where in the country are you, and that kind of thing would help me be more specific. But I could say this. It is really hard to hire talented people because, of course, there's supply is much less than demand right now. Whether you want to call that a bubble or not, doesn't matter. That's the situation we're in. Anywhere in the country, including Austin and the Bay Area and all that kind of stuff. And because it doesn't matter, because if it's in one of these tech hotbeds, then you say, well, then it's crawling with, you know, with folks that might want to join your company. Yes, and also there's a ton of companies that they can go join. So it works both ways. And so we're all struggling and it's hard. So Bart says he has money and way too much work. Well, that's a good place to be. I guess we all wish we had too much money.
Good problem.
You know, so maybe another question I have is whether Bart is working alone and wants employees to grow an agency kind of thing, or whether this is a product. And now we're having a discussion with Bart. Maybe that's okay. What do you guys think? Should we try to help Bart?
This is what Bart should do. He should hire on Web Dev Studios as his WordPress development entity. And for his security needs, he's got security.net. When he's looking for any media outreach for the WordPress community, he's got wpcandy.com. And for your hosting needs, you've got WP Engine. How do you like that?
I'd say this: if you're trying to hire, people, obviously a consultant who already does this for a living is already good at talking to customers, already capable of doing the thing. You can have a portfolio you can look at, and so on. So consultants are a good way to find, you know, folks. Now the question is, how would you get a consultant? Because doesn't the consultant charge twice as much as you can afford in salary and all that? And the answer is yes, but also the consultant has to go get that work, and that's a pain in the ass, and it's not billable. And there's a bunch of stuff about collecting money, and if you want to take a two-week vacation, you don't get paid, and there's just a whole bunch of stuff about being a consultant. And so I find that one technique you can use, and we do at WordPress Engine, and we use this for sure, is we say, look, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that, but every once in a while there's going to be a consultant who says, I don't want that part of the rat race. What I like is designing or writing code or doing whatever, you know, whatever the creative, interesting, new part of the job is. And what I don't like is FreshBooks and chasing people down and invoicing and dicking with credit cards and trying to find new clients and worried about the one, should I take the one big client, but then if I lose it and all that kind of stuff that you deal with, taxes and crap. And maybe it'd be nice just to get a salary, good salary, but a salary and some stability, and I'll trade that. I'm kind of ready to trade that for some stability, and also be interesting to have equity in something or be building something bigger than just one job after another. And I don't. And when the job's done, what am I left with? I guess a client relationship, but not a thing. Maybe I can build equity in a thing, whether that's a product or just an agency which itself has more momentum, or you know, et cetera. An agency that's more momentum and maybe does some profit sharing too, so that I ended up working 35-hour weeks instead of 60-hour weeks and make more money than I was making in 60-hour weeks, and I'm less stressed. So there are consultants always who are sort of in that place in their life. Maybe they're about to have a kid, or they have a kid and they don't see the kid. And there's all kinds of things that happen where that kind of trade-off suddenly becomes a more interesting thing in their life, and you can provide that if you have more work than anything else. But another thing I'd say is, and I wrote about this, and I guess I might as well plug the blog, because we're what? Like, we're a good amount in this, like 35 minutes in.
Yeah, please.
That's pretty good. So now if I plug my blog, then I won't seem like I came on here to plug a blog, right?
Hey, so why blog, don't you plug your blog?
Yeah, which is asmartbear.com. I did an article a while ago about the economics of a small agency, and it seems to me that a larger agency, like a seven or more people, can make good money, and a single person can make very good money. And there's this place, like two or three people, it's very hard actually to make money because you have this balance of trying to pay everybody but not really having enough momentum. And there's a lot of places where the money you'd like to make sort of leaks out like a sieve. And if you don't have enough mass, then that ends up negating a lot of the benefit of having extra people. And you end up making about the same money you were making when you were alone, except now you have employees and other stuff that you probably don't like as much. You know, probably don't like doing that as much, you know, messing with payroll instead of messing with, you know, TextMate. And so, I find that for single consultants, it can be a more interesting question if you have more work than time to say, how can you raise your rates? How can you select your customers better, and so on? So, in other words, you have more stuff. There are customers who are more demanding. Their customers, and sometimes it goes hand in hand with rates. Actually, and you'd be surprised. Sometimes you can raise rates 50%, and half your customers fall away. And that's good. And the people you're left with, and the position you're in, is such that you're making actually a ton more money than before, and actually working less, and that can be better even than hiring an employee anyway. But, you know, this is all sort of me droning on, which maybe I've done for too long, because I would like to help, and it's, you know.
Not at all. I believe that post was the unfortunate math behind consulting companies, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm not, that's a good entry point to get to that blog is by heading over to asmartbear.com.
I'll link that in the show notes.
So I've got it covered, baby boy. But look, right. I'll tell you, that's some firsthand knowledge, and obviously the experience comes out there. It's easy money, right? Now, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, and it does take a lot of movement and a lot of planning and a lot of thought behind making sure that you're able to sustain this long term. Speaking of sustaining, we reached WordPress's 9th birthday.
Yes.
That's a pretty big milestone in my eyes, especially being around it for so long. We're talking, most of us have been here for four to five years, at least on the show today. And what's been released here, I think as of yesterday, if not the day before, is WordPress 3.4, release candidate 1. Have you guys been checking this out at all?
I have. This is probably, I would say, the most user-focused feature will be the theme customizer, the preview. Which is a totally new thing and will be really interesting to see what that does to the sort of theme landscape and what WordPress themes offer. I'm not sure, and we kind of touched on this, I think, a couple of shows back when we were talking about, the I guess, pre-release candidate versions of 3.4, that it I seem to remember us saying that it didn't have a whole lot of developer features that were enticing, but maybe that's changed since then. Is that still the case, or am I wrong?
I don't know that it's changed much. And I kind of find that same theme, if you will, around most major releases, right? It's typically more developer-heavy, or you've got a lot of new widgets, gadgets, doodads, that whole nine. I don't see as many developer-focused things in this iteration, this release cycle, as I have in recent past.
Yeah,
not as sexy developer features, I should say, because there are some developer features, but they're certainly not as sexy as some might say. I mean,
I like to say that
as sexy as possible. There's a lot of query improvements, which are awesome, but they're not like sexy, you know. So I'll keep going with that. Like XML RPC, they did a lot with that this version, but again, it's not as sexy. It's definitely, in my opinion, more theme heavy, I guess you could say, theme improvements heavy. I think honestly one of the features I'm most excited about is the OEmbed will support tweets. It's like, which isn't that crazy of an idea, but just the way it works is really, really cool. Like, I'm really getting behind the whole OEmbed stuff. I'm playing with a lot of the OEmbed functions within WordPress. So you can basically OEmbed a tweet. You can just take a tweet. And you know how you get that, basically that permalink to the individual tweet on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Drop that in a post, and it will make a nice little OEmbed, capsule, I guess you could say, of your tweet. It'll have your profile link and in the tweet and when it was posted, and how you can easy link to reply and retweet and favorite and stuff like that. So it's that's really cool. And just the display of it, I mean, I love it. Just makes it so easy. So that, for me, which is not the coolest feature of the release, I think it's pretty cool.
One of the cool little, not a huge feature or anything, but is the closing PHP tags, right?
Oh, right.
It's no longer going to be needed. So if you've got an extra line break or some funny spacing there, it's not going to explode your whole, your whole page or whatever you're working on. If it's excluded, you're pretty much good to go. It's kind of neat.
Am I the only one that has a problem with doing that? Like, I get the reasoning behind it, but I'm like my mind, I've been doing it for so long, is if there's an opening tag, there needs to be a closing tag. You know, it's like ever since day one of programming, that's been it. Like, forget HTML, just any language you're in, opening tag, there has to be a closing tag. And now they're saying, no, you don't really need it. Like, I can't. It's like my OCD is like, no, I have to close this tag. I can't just leave it open. You know, it's really hard for me to do that, sadly.
Me on the HTML side, that stuff, sure. I totally agree. You open it, you close it. I can see where this could be useful. I know that we're not the first ones to kind of head there from a WordPress perspective. So, I think there's arguments on both sides.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's funny because one of the most common errors that I've seen that's a really, really hard one to debug is if you've ever had an RSS feed in WordPress and it it breaks because there's an extra space at the top. And it's almost 99.9% caused by spaces after a closing tag in PHP. And it's really, really hard to find. And there's plugins out there that try to figure that out for you. That's one that will hopefully go away with this update, hopefully. But that's one that comes to mind that I've had to debug multiple times, just having an extra space or two. And it could be in a plugin not related to RSS at all, but RSS feed will blow up. It'll throw an extra space at the top of the RSS feed for whatever reason.
Tony Perez-Fox in the chat room is saying he hates those damn spaces. We see it all the time. Clearing a site from some funny malware, they put some obfuscated code within all of your PHP, and when that's cleared out, it sometimes it leaves some unneeded, unwanted spacing, which can be just as painful as those RSS feeds to debug. What a challenge!
There's a great article that you linked up, Ryan, on WP Candy from Aaron Brazell. TechnoSeller, it's kind of his series. He's been doing this 10 things you need to know about the upcoming version of WordPress, in this case 3.4. He's been doing it for years now. I really like these articles because it lays out in plain English, like, what are the top 10 things I should look at? And he lays them out, the top 10 things you should really look at for this particular release. So definitely check that out. We'll make sure to put it in the show notes.
Indeed, we will. I'm curious, too, just in terms of, new releases and stuff, Jason, how early does WP Engine apply new WordPress releases once they're out? Because I've seen, there's a lot of sort of worry sometimes in users' minds about when is the right time to upgrade. And, of course, the right time to upgrade is immediately. But I'm curious from a larger, host perspective, when you actually integrate those once they're live.
Well, the right time to upgrade is during the release candidates, not live, right? Like you test out the release candidates to see what kinds of things are going to be incompatible, so that by the time they go live, you've already identified whether you can and should upgrade there, because it's quite possible that a lot of your plugins are not compatible for one reason or another, maybe even your custom code and all that kind of thing. So what we find is we can't roll out the a new point release. And so just to be clear, when they release a patch, like a 3.1.3, we apply that immediately, and that has never broken a site in our experience.
No upgrades in capabilities. Typically, it's some type of bug fix or a security patch.
Right. So, but the minor point releases and obviously the major ones do. In fact, the last time we had a sizable percentage of folks for whom that was incompatible. So we like to wait. And the problem is that there's no one answer. There's always a handful of blocks, for example, where it's just incompatible. It doesn't matter if you wait, they're not going to be compatible. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's others where if they wait for some of the plugins to catch up, then they'll be compatible and so forth. Also, it's very common for Automattic to release the new version and then release a patch version very quickly, like within a week or two. And so we kind of like to wait a couple of weeks to watch for that first patch version and then say, okay, that maybe that's enough burn in. Even then though, it's very dangerous for us or anybody to just upgrade the sites live. And so one of the things that we have in our hosting platform, which I think is unique, I don't know why our competitors haven't copied us on this, but I don't think they have, is that we have a staging area, which means you can click one button in your WordPress admin and get a copy of your database and files under a different domain, and you can do stuff like try different CSS or install a plugin or upgrade core and see how it works before you make it live. And it's running on our servers, not your development platform. So it's truly, in the real production environment, so that you're not worried about, well, it worked on my laptop but not live. You don't worry about those kind of things.
Man of my own heart, I will tell you, I preached that till I was blue in the face. Don't ever test live or hot. Test in a dev environment. Having a staging like that is beyond helpful.
Yeah, so
you're crazy. I cowboy code it, throw it up there on the live site. That's what I always tell my clients. That's the way to do it. I mean,
some changes, yeah, and upgrading
YOLO
point release. I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
So all of our 100% of our customers at any price level have that. So of course, what we recommend is that's what this is for. You go, you know, take the release candidates or take the releases and go over to your staging area and see if it works. And if it doesn't, try to diagnose what's wrong. And that way you can, you know, sort of wait until things are fixed up and then make it live. So we have sort of this rolling thing of you know, we want most of our customers on it within a month or so, but you know, sometimes a point release will come out and it's really stable. Like this last one is really stable. And so it didn't take long for us to go, yeah, this is pretty solid. Everyone needs to be on this. And there were other releases where it wasn't like that. It took 2 or 3 months before we finally started, you know, forcibly upgrading some people. But there's always some sites where for one reason or another, they're not going to be compatible quite yet. And so we allow them to hang back. But we only let them hang back one point release, which is exactly the same as the support that the Foundation Automatic gives. It's supporting patches, security patches and bug fixes, one point release back. So you get exactly the same amount of time that the makers of WordPress themselves give on our platform to sort of get everything together. But at the end of the day, it's just simply not well, it's both not cost effective for us to support people on 2.8. For example, we have a new person today who said, "Hey, I'm trying to migrate my blog. It's on 2.8. Is that cool?" No, it's not cool. Right? Like, fix that first, then you can.
It's like the opposite of cool.
And that's the question that came up in the room here is from a migration standpoint, or at least during your onboarding process, do you have some type of vetting that you do and say, "Hey, look, if you're running 1.6, it's not going to happen. Get it done," or do you guys help them through that process? Or is there any stipulation or any requirements before you do onboard them into the environment?
They need to be on the latest version of WordPress, and there are certain plugins which we don't allow, and occasionally that's because they're not scalable or there's some other behavior about it that's bad. But in the main, it's just because they're unnecessary on our platform. So for example, there's a lot of caching plugins, cache, transient cache, page cache, da, da, da. There, many of them are in fact very, very good plugins and good stuff, but just not necessary on our platform. So same is true with some of the backup plugins where, yeah, you got to back up your site. Except on our platform, that comes with it, and you have this great interface, and you can make backups whenever you want, and you can put them on S3 if you want. We do too, but if you don't trust us, or you want special access, you can do it yourself. Like all this stuff, we do anyway as our platform, so we don't also need a thing, you know, running zip every hour and throwing big files around at the same time. So,
which is amazing on the backup piece. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want it to be a sales pitch for us, but we have so we have a plugin actually that we made that's in the repository now called WP Engine Ready, and you put it in, and if your WordPress is behind, or if you have active plugins that we don't that I say don't allow, but that sounds so strong, it's not really that.
Well, there's some that, to be quite honest, you probably shouldn't allow.
Well, yeah, some of them are in that category, but in the main, it's just, you know, superfluous, you could say.
Sure.
And anyway, so the plugin tells you, oh, you know, these two are in that category and that. So we actually have a plugin which helps you know what the kind of prerequisites for moving over. But, you know, again, like everything's kind of soft. Like that's true, but at the same time, if you move over, it's not like we're police shooting you in the head. We'll just go, oh, look at this, and then we'll, you know, work around that. And we also work with a company called Website Movers. And I do not get a kickback if you go use them. So we just use them because we like them. And we use them to help migrate people. One good thing is we have a discount with them. So when one of our new customers uses them, number one, we subsidize some of that. And number two, if their site is very complicated and therefore it's going to be a big move, still we pass on our rate to the customers. And so they're really good at seeing all this stuff and making sure the site works the same in one place as another and all that sort of thing.
Now, on that onboarding piece, now we talked about some of maybe the, even if they are soft requirements or requirements around the onboarding process, whether it's plugins or the actual core piece. What about core that's been adapted? So instead of looking at creating a plugin or adding some type of functionality inside of a theme, they're coming in with some type of cowboy-coded core files to pull in some functionality. Do you have any specific take on the editing of core files? And this is, again, one of my horrible attempts at a segue.
Yeah, no, we don't allow core edits. We don't edit the core to host your site either. We're the hosting company, and even we don't have to edit it to make it work in our system. So you shouldn't either. WordPress is full of hooks. The hooks are supported and documented. Editing core files is not. New course comes out, and you'll have to merge your changes. It's just, again, we can't support it. Now, look, if you want to do that, again, I don't think it's a great idea for yourself because it's a maintenance nightmare. But if you want to do that, then you shouldn't be at what's called a, quote, managed WordPress hosting company, right? It's managed means we take care of a lot of stuff, and it's WordPress. And as soon as you start mucking about with core, it's not really WordPress usually. Anyway, now I put a little star next to that because we support some pretty weird things. Like we support Runkit, which for the PHP crazies out there, they'll go, sweet. And what Runkit lets you do is stuff like replace functions at runtime with other functions and stuff like that. So you can actually, if you really want to roll up your sleeves and go ape, you can, on our platform, you actually can screw around pretty significantly, of course, at your own risk, because that's getting into crazy town, right? Like, don't call support if your crazy Runkit thing breaks something, right?
Well, that's when you bring in Web Dev Studios, my second shameless plug of the day. So to push back on the core files and editing, I would agree to the extent to say that, yeah, once you start editing it, it really isn't WordPress proper at that point.
Right.
Here recently on Digging Into WordPress, a pretty popular website with some actually documented, I believe it's a full book around WordPress, released a post. This is created by Chris Coyer and Jeff Starr. A post named Limit WordPress Post Navigation, the same author and category. Now, interesting start off on it, but as you get through it, what they're doing is basically giving you a tutorial on how to edit WordPress core files to do something specific around navigations to keep the same author and category. Now, this is a pretty popular book, a pretty popular website from some pretty big figureheads in the development world, if you will. It was a challenge for me to read through it and go, wow, I can support this. As we just talked about, it's not the right thing to be doing. It does become a maintenance nightmare, could become a major security liability at some point down the road. The interesting about the discussion is as it continues on, there's some people writing in the comments around, hey, this probably isn't the best way to approach it. And then wouldn't you know it, the co-founder of WordPress, Mike Little, actually within his post or post reply, writes a plugin that's a suitable alternative for what they were doing in the post. Now, we talked about this briefly, Ryan.
Yeah.
I think we share the same sentiment here in terms of what we just discussed with Jason and editing core files. What's your take here, bud?
Yeah, it was surprising to see it, first of all, on DigWP. I know it's David Powell guest contributed the post, and you know, there's what was surprising was to see the pushback from the author and Jeff Starr in the comments saying that you know, there's basically nothing wrong with editing core files, and
well, right, people do it all the time.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that discussion requires so many caveats that I don't know that it's even worth bringing up in a place that people are going to go to like learn about how to do this stuff right. Because, and I think we were chatting before the show, certainly everybody needs to edit core files at the point where they want to contribute code to WordPress core. That is going to require you modifying core files to submit a patch. But that's not most people. And I think, I mean, what I would hope Jeff means and the author means when they're talking about, you know, how it's okay to edit cores is in those instances it's okay, because it's certainly not okay for the average person to just change their WordPress install that way. That's a really, really bad practice. I don't know anybody who, and until seeing this post, I would have said I don't know anybody who would disagree with that. So that was kind of a surprise.
Well, I think what maybe struck me the most odd is in terms of this being such a popular and educational awareness, WordPress awareness driven type of site and publication.
Yeah.
To see them, I don't want to say sponsor, maybe that's too harsh there, but allow this type of post with these type of things being published in terms of a lot of people are going to be coming to look and you know, 9 times out of 10 folks that aren't heavy WordPress developers are going to come and see this code and think, awesome, this is a perfect fit, and they're going to follow it to a T, right? So next thing you know, this is cut and paste right into their core files. What are you teaching people? And what are you doing in terms of WordPress in general by saying that this is okay? I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't know if you guys have got anything to drive home on this specific piece.
That would be a live horse, Brad.
What?
that was brilliant. My big takeaway here, and probably what says it best in two sentences, is Robert Dahl in the comments here says, every time you modify WordPress core, God kills a kitten. And I'll leave it at that. You guys take it as you will.
If I can chime in for a second, I think obviously this was stupid. at the base level, this was dumb. And I think they know that. You know, Chris knows better. Jeff knows better. Chris, I don't think, was involved. Jeff knows better. I think he's defending the article a little bit. But, you know, deep down, he knows better. This is not the way to go about it. Yeah, it's a guest post, so I got to believe. I almost kind of wonder if this might have been published with not a lot of review. You know, maybe it went through and someone said, all right, looks good, go. And didn't really think about the repercussions. Obviously, you should never modify core. I think that what makes it even worse is the tutorial's like editing, like, I don't know, 8 to 12 different lines of core. And then Mike Little, the co-founder or the co-founding developer of WordPress, comments, his first comment, he puts in a how to make this as a plugin or put into your functions file of your theme, and he does it in 5 lines. Where you don't have to modify core at all. So he basically said, look, you know, this was dumb. Why did you do this? And here's how you should do it properly. In 5 lines, like, why go through the trouble? I get if you don't know how to do this, you know, saying 5 lines, oh, that sounds like a small amount. But if you don't know how to do it, that could take you a lot of work to come with those 5 lines. But you should know that modifying core is dumb. Like, there's very few cases where it's appropriate. You know, there are some very rare cases where you might have to. But it's not something a tutorial site, especially a site that has a book that they sell, should ever make mention of, or should ever show in tutorials that talk about that. You know, they should always say, look, you either can or can't do this. If you can't do it, don't modify core. You know, submit a ticket to track on where you need a filter or a hook of some sort so that you can make it into a plugin. But don't hack core, you know.
That's a great point.
It's sad to see.
Now you could be contributing to the same problem as someone else or contributing to the solution. They may be solving the problem for somebody else. The other alternatives there is, if you're not looking ahead to that level, is check out the forums. There's plenty of places where you can ask these questions and steer away from editing core files. IRC, you name it. There's people out there that are going to help you with it.
Yeah, no. Did we mention Otto commented and left some of those pieces of advice as well?
Yeah, he's literally just commented within the time we've been talking about this.
Yep. So he's
great.
Got some advice in there as well. So, you know, I mean, the fact that it'll still pop up here and there in the community means that we're probably not beating a dead horse to mention it again, but...
It doesn't happen that often. I tell you, we clean up hundreds of WordPress sites a week, and we do not see it very often anymore. I'd say 2 years ago, it was still a big deal, at least for us and what I see in our everyday, not as big of a challenge anymore.
Don't hack or Dre will shoot a kitten.
And what better segue to thanking our show sponsor,
Killing Kittens,
than the killing of kittens. I'll drop the link here into the show notes. I want to thank Obox Themes, who've been around for, I want to say, 3 years come this summer. And despite their name, they've started adding plugins to their repertoire lately. And the one that we want to mention today is their social commerce plugin, which is, I love plugins that are designed to work on top of other plugins. Pluggable plugins, I think, are awesome. And Social Commerce is specifically designed to work with the WooCommerce plugin. And basically what it does is it allows you to, despite whatever theme you might be using, you can activate the plugin and then add your site as an app on Facebook, and it'll create, here I should drop in the demo link as well. It will make your website have an app-like experience on Facebook, which it's just neat how they have it all really simplified down into. And again, that's just, you know, no matter what theme you're using, this is only sort of a Facebook app view, that kind of draws all your products in and the whole kind of social experience onto Facebook. Really nifty little plugin. And like I said, kind of my favorite kind because it just expands upon another WordPress plugin. So that's on obox-design.com, and I'll drop the link into the show notes. And thanks to Obox for supporting WP Late Night.
Thanks, Obox.
Thanks, guys.
We heart you. This beer's for you, buddy.
Despite following up the shooting of kittens with your...
Sorry, the kitten moved a little bit.
No kittens were actually...
You know, I think Jason got really quiet. Are you a kitten lover?
Oh, no.
No? Oh, God, no.
Kittens suck. What are you talking about?
We can send them to the gas chamber.
Oh. Hey, this is the gas chamber. We go. Wow.
They think they're getting a milk bath. It said it's gas.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hey.
That's about as far from a kitten lover as you could be, I think.
You know, the only kittens that you'll see in my house is maybe on an iPad or some type of mobile device. They're not allowed in the house ever, but the kids get to view them on some type of nice LCD screen.
Are we talking about porn now?
Well, no, whoa, kittens. We're talking the benign type, not the crazy ones.
Oh, boy.
This week, actually, Ryan, you released a post on WP Candy.
Yeah.
Around WordPress on mobile. I don't know how many kittens will be contained there. I guess it depends the blog.
Zero kittens contained within the following segment.
Before we get into that, can I just take a minute to say Dre is a Segway master on this show? Like, we pretty much always suck on Segways. Dre, you're killing it tonight on the Segways.
Trying to, brother.
To be fair,
you're making us look good, and I don't like it.
It's just going to require more out of Brad.
Wow.
That's why, man. I don't like
Pick
it.
Pick up your game, don't buddy. You're looking like
provide more than I already provide.
So Matt was interviewed or joined the Pando Daily crew. I think they call the series Pando Monthly because it's a sort of an interview series that they add to. This was in New York. And Sarah Lacey and he talked about all sorts of things. But one of the things that was touched on was, this was before that. This is different. I was looking at this video earlier. This is actually from the paid content. And he did a couple of speaking gigs last week in New York. So this is from the paid content. Oh, thanks, Brad. The GigaOM paid content conference last week. And he talked about sort of the latest shift or the latest phase for WordPress over the next year or so, and kind of brainstormed a bit, it seems like, both on his blog and during the interview, about a radically simplified WordPress for mobile. And he specifically said that apps will probably not be the direction to go, that the mobile optimizations that are coming to WordPress are probably not strong enough to make a decent mobile experience for WordPress. I thought his comments on it were pretty fascinating and kind of interesting when looking towards, we talked earlier about the coming up on 10 years of WordPress. That's kind of the date he threw out for when some of these changes might be ready. I don't know. It's, mobile, Matt and the team are always, it's the 80-20 rule. You want to build WordPress for the greatest majority of people, and mobile is massive. Right, that's at least worldwide. I think that's the majority of internet users now are via mobile devices. Right, I'm pulling that number out of nowhere.
Mobile's,
but I'm pretty sure
mobile's
that.
Massive. Every time I see articles like this, or apps or whatever that for mobile, I always think mobile's massive. We all get that. Everybody has a mobile phone in their pocket or nearby. But at what point, who is blogging on a mobile device? Who's writing this lengthy article on a mobile device?
Well, you're
I don't think there's that many people doing it.
Well, I disagree because there's things like iPads, which are also mobile devices, and those kind of things have taken off too.
True.
There's a lot of people who sort of want to prove
I think
that
mobile
they can
devices
live on an iPad. Well, there's a lot of people who want to just like a lot of people use a Mac, me included, to sort of be part of something. You go to a coffee shop, you have a lot of people with iPads in those weird cases that have keyboards attached and they're typing away. And it's almost like they want to prove that they don't need a laptop. They can do it all on an iPad. That kind of stuff's only growing. I mean, if you look at anything, it doesn't matter if mobile is the majority or not the majority, or people write it now or they don't write. All you have to do is look. I mean, especially at the level of automatic, they already have, 20, 30 million blogs there. And if you look at WordPress, there's 70, 80, 100 million blogs, or I should say sites. It's not just blogs, let's not forget.
Yes.
You look at those kind of numbers and these little things we're going to get a new feature. Those kind of things don't move those needles at all. Not at all. You can't even see the needle. They could not come out with a feature and it would grow pretty much the same rate. And so you have to look at the really macro trends. The really macro trends are actually pretty obvious. Like every year, more people use mobile than they did before. Some of that's supplanting laptops. Some of it's addition to laptops. In other words, people who are like those iPad people are replacing a laptop with it. People who have it in their pocket are just doing it when they're in the store where they wouldn't otherwise have a laptop. But the point is that it's only growing. There's no reason to think it won't be growing in the next 10 years, more so than laptops or, God forbid, workstations. See, we don't even say workstations anymore, right? Well, that's going to be mobile and laptops too, because at some point the iPad is going to – the iPad plus the case, it's going to be pretty close, and you don't need a laptop. Just like people say, don't get a workstation, you just have a laptop. Same thing. And there's going to be different kinds of devices. Apple won't rule the world forever or in totality. There's going to be some weird thing coming out of China that none of us know about. In other words, of course, mobile is the thing that's going to grow like crazy and everything else is just going to sit there, just like Java's sitting there and WordPress is exploding. And so, of course, you have to do the mobile thing. Of course, just saying, well, our JavaScript's different is not enough to address address what mobile means, which is a different form factor, a different expectation for how things work, maybe having a slower connection. Sometimes being offline and being online is more important. Addressing what happens when I have 100 plugins and my screen isn't that big. I mean, there's a lot of things to address in mobile, which aren't a matter of style sheets. It's a matter of, it's a matter of, the UX and also how the plugins plug in, right, and what kinds of hooks they're going to need to provide in order to work with the new UX. I mean, it's a whole thing, and there's no doubt that's where you have to go, because that's where the big movement is going.
Well, and
yeah, I mean, go ahead, Ryan.
I was just going to say, you say who likes blogging from mobile devices? I think blogging, most people already blog photos from their phones or their mobile devices or whatever. I mean, I think nobody's necessarily going to be, writing a 5,000-word tome, from their mobile device. Some might, but it's probably a lot more common that it'll just be different forms than...
They need to get post formats native into the iOS app. It's killing me. I've been running a post formats blog for a year and a half. I can't use it as I'd like to.
So you're the one using post formats. I knew there was somebody using it.
That's a native functionality. I would love to see it in the iOS app, right?
I can post that
image. Those are really simplistic to do from a mobile device, mm-hmm. whether it's an iPad or an iPhone or what have you. And I can't really use them as they should be straight from the actual device.
I mean, Ryan, you're dead on, man. I mean, it's not. I don't think the WordPress on the mobile is blogging at all. That's kind of the point I was trying to make. It's not blogging, period. It's media. It's photos, it's videos, it's sound clips, it's media. Like, I'm on the road, I want to take a quick video and post it. I want to take a quick snapshot and post it with as little clicks as possible. I don't want it to go through this 20-step process. Right. And a lot of these apps that they have do that. I mean, they're really good at doing, one click, they're doing the quick blogs, one click, photo, boom, you post it, which is great. That's where I think the dashboard needs to go. Forget trying to write a blog post. Like, the ability should be there, but I would bet there's a very small percentage of how many people are actually typing blog posts on their mobile device. Now, tablets are different. Tablets are easier.
It's content in general, right? Content in general, and putting it on some website somewhere that's running WordPress directly through a mobile device. I mean, that's the reality.
I wanted to bring this up since we're touching on the mobile stuff, and we can sort of just say offhand that the latest WordPress for iOS app update was just in the past week or so as well. I was thinking about this, and I want to bring it up because I don't think I've heard people talk about it before. But it's always kind of, as usual, Mark Jaquith will tweet something that you've thought before. And let me pull this up.
It's in my head.
I'm still pulling up, but he basically said, let's be honest, this was after the iOS update came out. I think it might have been in reply to somebody, so it might take me a second to find it. But he said, let's be honest, WordPress for iOS is really Automattic's WordPress.com iPhone app that just so happens to also work with other WordPress sites. I think that there's...
I disagree completely, by the way, with that statement.
All right. Well, I wanted to bring it up to see what everybody thought about it, because... It's definitely one of those things that has, I guess, an interesting affiliation, because it certainly serves, I'm sure, to bring people onto WordPress.com, because that's a major half of what the app does.
What was the statement again? I missed that.
I don't want to misquote him. So let me pull it up properly. Jason, go ahead while I find the exact quote, because I know you, it sounds like you read it.
Well, the quote was I mean, the quote that you just said is more or less, the app is for WordPress.com, i.e. the people that have free blogs or a few power-ups, and isn't for WordPress.org, meaning people who are self-hosting or hosting with providers like us. In other words, not WordPress.com. And I disagree completely, because automatic strategy now to make money, the big new place to make money is in the .org. In other words, it's in blogs that are not hosted on WordPress.com. I mean, not that they don't want to continue hosting as many blogs as they can on WordPress.com, and that's good for them. Of course it is. But actually, the revenue growth thing for them, which is what Tony is focused on, Tony Schneider, is in how can we monetize not just the stuff on WordPress.com, but the even more millions of blogs that are not on WordPress.com. And Jetpack is a foothold into that, because it, of course, is a container for plugins, some of which are free, some of which will not be free, and will be services, much like Gravatar as a service and Intense Debate and those kind of things. Of course, those are free, but there will be things that are not free as well. And anyway, the point is that the reason that they have things like Jetpack and all the stuff they're investing in, not in VaultPress and these kind of things, which is, of course, for money, is that they need to be able to monetize the stuff that's not hosted with them. Because it's, of course, in Automatic's interest for Bluehost to have a million WordPress installs, which they do, and for Dreamhost to have close to a million WordPress installs, which they do, and so on down the line with all them, and even little us with a mere thousands of WordPress installs, which seems a lot to me, but it's not compared to these other titans, right? Mm-hmm. But it's in their interest for this entire ecosystem to exist, because we all push people to use WordPress, and we all promote WordPress, and we all support WordPress, and all of this stuff just increases the WordPress ecosystem. But us doing this doesn't give Automatic money yet. That's the thing they got to fix, is having this great ecosystem give Automatic more money. Because right now, Automatic is a little bit profitable. But if you think about it, they host 20. I'm sorry, I'm just talking on and on. But they host 45 million blogs. They make $45 million a year. And they host about 25 million blogs, which means they make about 50 cents per person per year, which is just not enough. They need to make more money than that. In fact, it's hard to find any company that charges anything and makes that little per person. They need to make that more. So making money off of WordPress is, in fact, the future of Automatic, and as well as making money, of course, on the people who are on Automatic. But it's not like Automatic wants people to flee Dreamhost or flee WordPress Engine and go to WordPress.com. They don't. They don't act that way. They don't say that. They don't do anything that indicates that that's what they want. But rather, they want the ecosystem to exist, but they also need to make money on it. And so the mobile app, since mobile is clearly very important, Matt says so, it's sort of obvious that it has to be important to them. That's why I completely disagree that the mobile app is going to be just a sort of a shill or a plug or a thing for WordPress.com and leave everyone else out. This is why I think that is 100% wrong, because they need to support, in fact, the entire ecosystem. They want to, and they want to make money on the entire ecosystem.
Yeah, and I wouldn't disagree with that. Just so I can get the quote correct, this was, and I dropped a link into the chat room. I'll put it in the show notes. But it was Otto who has said at Mark Jacobs, because they were talking about the WordPress app, and he said the WordPress app on Android is pretty amazing, but it does kind of assume you're using Jetpack. It still works for the basics, though. And Mark responded, "Well, let's not beat around the bush. The mobile apps are WordPress.com apps that just happen to work for WordPress sites." So that's the actual Twitter quote, because I didn't want to mis-summarize.
I think there's some truth to that statement, though. I mean, he's right. I mean, ultimately, these apps that are being built to grow WordPress, right? They're being built to grow the name, being built for .com users to use, being built for .org. I don't know if it's 100% truth. I mean, it's built to... They're released to grow the name of WordPress, get more people using WordPress. You know, someone might sign up for WordPress, say, "Hey, there's a nice app for my phone, I can use it," and they stick with WordPress and they grow and grow and grow, and they launch and they start paying money for different services. There's some truth to it. I don't know if it's everything obviously is built around just .com, but I think it, as a whole, it's all about building the name of WordPress, the brand of WordPress.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the only... I don't think there's anything wrong with Automatic building apps that support Automatic, but it's a little bit of a... And, I mean, we've talked about this before, how there's confusion about WordPress.com, WordPress.org, and Automatic's affiliation with the foundation and how the whole kind of community operates. And And I think sometimes things like this can contribute to that confusion because these apps are WordPress for iOS, right? Or WordPress for Android or WordPress for Windows Phone. And when people get them, you know, they're given two options. And I have to, I'll pull it up right now, but I'm pretty certain that the top option is start a WordPress.com blog, right? And then it's also connect your WordPress.org if you have one. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing because I think, you know, there's arguments to be made either way, but I think that you can certainly make the argument that that can be confusing, right? Particularly, I mean, you know, I mistakenly mentioned the Sarah Lacey interview, and I'll link that up in the show notes since I mentioned it anyway because it's worth mentioning, that they talked in New York about all sorts of things. But even Sarah said, and she writes for pandodaily.com, that she's confused often about how the sort of interaction works between or interactions work between Automattic and the WordPress Foundation and how all of that exists. And that's somebody working in tech press, right? And so we see this. I mean, you know, Dre, Brad, you guys, I'm sure, in running WordPress meetups, because I know you guys run more than I do. And
yeah, I was just going to say the meetups are...
It's got to be...
Almost every... Yeah, well, every meetup, I kind of preface it with, you know, who's on .com, who's on .org, yeah. All right, who knows the difference? And then you have to explain the difference, and people are like, oh, yeah, that makes sense when you explain it. But trying to figure that out on their own is not easy. Like, you go to .com, and it talks about all these posts and sites and, you know, how many words people have written in a day, and .org
well, look
is, like,
at the demographic at those meetups. WordPress,
it's really confusing.
Sorry about that, Brad. Think about the demographic there. You've got end users. When you start looking at the percentage split around hosted versus .com folks, right, or self-hosted versus .com folks, you get a large percentage of both. I remember, you know, it's funny, at WordCamp Phoenix last year, Aaron Campbell was running the Genius Bar or Smart Bar, whatever we need to call it now these days, and I swear I was out, over there for a good 45 minutes, hours, standing with Aaron, and as people were filtering in, and it was a good split. Well, are you here for, do you log into WordPress.com? And it was like a whole vetting process to just, you know, shift them one way or another at the Smart Bar to make sure they were getting the proper attention from the appropriate folks. It's going to happen.
Absolutely. It is certainly a common point of confusion.
Yeah, it's too bad that the only name distinction is .com and .org, and that's that mm-hmm. I think is where a lot of the confusion is. Sure. There's a little bit of confusion also in behavior. So there's things like, for example, anybody who does something like an add-on store, like in other words, I should say anybody that does something that's like the WordPress plugin repository and that. It's a container that has plugins that you can download and update and on its own. It's sort of its own thing. Anything kind of like that is strictly taboo and can't be in the WordPress repository. So there's a couple of companies trying to make an add-in store for money and so on.
Like do you mean something like the WP App Store?
Right. And yet there's that's right. And then on the other hand, there's Jetpack, which is exactly that and is allowed and it's automatic. And so you start saying, well, okay, so they're two separate things. And yet there's definitely a special relationship where those kind of things happen. You know, the WordCamp San Francisco also is a special WordCamp, of course, not just because of its location, but for other things about it that the other WordCamps don't have.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. Let's get it going.
That's right.
Now, before we get into all that, if I may just interject for a second, Jason, to that point and your comment about taboo, it was interesting to see actually Matt on his own blog comment about that. Someone brought up the WP App Store, and I quote, his actual reply to that comment was, I don't like WP App Store, and I'm not sure why anybody would install that or install it. And it's a little bit confusing, I guess, without more context, where he's really heading with that or what his thoughts are, being that there is a Jetpack out there. Sure, right now it's not really offering any paid services or add-on plugins within that very kind of app store type setup. Where do you think that's going to go?
Well, you have to ask Matt what Matt thinks, and you have to ask
Tony
what Automattic's going to do, but so I don't know. I mean, I think, in my opinion, Automattic has to go monetize the .org, by which I mean monetize our customers, right? And you know, Automattic is, by the way, an investor in our company. I guess I should say that. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
So we're not against that either. It's just, I'm just stating things that are true. The Jetpack exists. Automattic should use it to monetize that. They've said publicly that they might, you know, make things that are for money in there. I don't see why they wouldn't do that, and so on. So you know, these are all just public things that have been said. So there's no surprise here.
Yeah.
I think. But yeah, so that leads to the confusion. You know, the .com.org thing is to me, that's simply unfortunate. Like, I don't think someone designed that to be confusing. That's just simply, in fact, it makes a lot of sense. It's just sort of unfortunate because it's confusing for many people who look at it. So that's fair enough. And then there's these things like WP App Store versus Jetpack, which further add to the confusion, not because of naming, but because of that sort of thing. And so it continues to be confused. So it's not surprising that people are confused. And our position is just like, look, we can't everyone just get along? Like, we'll just support stuff. Like, we're not going to turn away a WP App Store, and we're not going to turn away a Jetpack. And like, we don't have a vested interest. We don't have a horse in the race. It's like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, all the stuff in WordPress, I mean, except for, I guess, people literally trying to cause harm or roil things up. I mean, outside of that, it's all good. Like, you know, the more stuff that is available in the WordPress ecosystem, the better, as long as it's not some sort of evil thing trying to confuse people. I mean, as long as it's not in that category, then it's good. You know, choice is good and variety is good. And also, again, let's not forget, you know, WordPress is, depending on who you ask, 11, 12, 14% of every website on Earth, which means it's basically a statistically significant sample of the entire internet. Well, if you say the entire internet, then there's room for lots and lots and lots of stuff. Right?
Like, oh, yeah.
There should be room for lots of stuff. We want lots of stuff. There should be open source stuff and closed source stuff. There should be conferences that are opening other conferences. And there should be, you know, app stores for money and app stores not for money. And, of course, I don't think it's great for the community to have like 20 different app stores and there's crap all over the place. Like, that doesn't seem good. Just like you don't want 20 different power lines going to your house. You kind of just want one. So in that sense, I get that part. Like, I get that there's some kind of harm that could come with, you know, in certain ways, in some of the plumbing ways like that. I think there's good argument to be made there. But to say, but, you know, given that the existing app store will definitely be, you know, only free stuff and also excluding some other things. And given that there's already exclusions for companies like Automattic, then why not, why not see if there's interest in another app store? And if Matt's right, one is interested in WP App Store, then good. They die and so be it. And if people are interested, then they're interested. And then why squelch something that people are interested in?
You know what will be interesting is when Jetpack – we all know Jetpack's going to start selling stuff. So you don't promote a free plugin like that like they have been and not eventually have a plan in place to make money. They're sponsoring WordCamps. They're giving out free swag.
To be fair.
It'll be interesting to see when Jetpack starts selling stuff within Jetpack.
It does.
What happens?
Yes, they do.
Just not.
They do lots of stuff for free and never monetize it. So, yes, they do. You know, they do Gravatar and never monetize it, Intense Debate and never monetize it.
Well, they do a lot, but I've never seen Gravatar sponsor a WordCamp. I haven't seen Gravatar come out with, like, pins with the Gravatar logo on it that they're giving away. And they've done all that for Jetpack. So I got to believe there's a marketing strategy there.
I would say, though, that just because they're not selling outright within the dashboard, it's certainly, like, you know, connecting more people to WordPress.com, promoting VaultPress and things like that within Jetpack, that's certainly selling things, even though it's not necessarily taking credit card information within, you know, that person's WordPress dashboard. That certainly leads people to purchase things with Automattic. And that's, you know, it's just how they choose to do it, and that's fine. You know, but I don't think it's accurate to say that they're not selling things with Jetpack right now. It's just in a different way.
That's a fair statement. I'm thinking more along the lines of if they start selling add-ons to Jetpack, whereas, you know, WordPress Stats is an add-on that's free for Jetpack right now that you can enable. You know, if they bring out some other additional add-ons that they charge for, I'm assuming they will. Maybe they won't. I don't know. But my gut tells me they will. It'll be interesting to see what kind of backlash, if any, there is from the community saying, hey, Jetpack's in the repository, yet App Store or some of the other similar ones are not. Why?
Well, and if, yeah, I mean, like you said, if that time comes, then that'll be interesting to see.
I think on that note, we should move into our tips of the week. So if you got a bar trick, you want to put on the table for everybody to see?
Stupid human trick.
Stupid human trick. Stupid human cat trick.
Oh, even. No.
That's so, anybody got something to throw on the table today?
I'll start it off because I know. Well, Brad, I know you're always scrambling. Even though I think you're prepared this time because I helped you before the show.
But I'm prepared this time, surprisingly.
I'll still start out. And mine's actually really simple.
I steal mine, won't you?
Yeah, that was my plan. That was my plan all along.
I'll start out and take yours from you.
mine's actually really easy because I'll just link up on the blog. I wrote a post rounding up some plugins for the P2 theme, which is actually Automatic's creation as well. And I probably like plugins far more than themes just because I use more plugins than themes. So I like finding them. In this particular post, I'll link it up in the show notes, and I just put it into the chat room. Mention Me Widget, P2 Likes, P2 Resolved Posts, and Who's Online are all plugins specifically created for the P2 theme, which I think is awesome. And I use. I don't know if you guys use it. I know we use one for the show, which we kind of use intermittently mixed in with Google Docs. But I think it's really cool. So it's kind of a series of picks that I'm not going to run through all of them right now because it would take far too long, but I'll link it up in the show notes.
P2. And one's by Scott Baskard, our fizzy yes. pop buddy. So check yes. that one out. P2 Scott. Likes.
Scott is amazing.
Love the Baskard.
Brad, you got anything there, big guy?
I do. I have a fun one. It's a new website I actually just learned about last night at the Philly meetup group. I go to meetup groups. I run the meetup groups. I run WordCamps, and I still learn stuff at these things. And that's what I love about WordPress. No matter how much you know, you can always learn something. So if you think you know it all, you're an idiot. But this site is called Infinite WP, and it's actually very similar to Managed WP that you've probably heard more about. Mm-hmm. This one isn't as well known, and it's very very similar. It has basically a single login, and you can kind of load all of your sites in. So if you have 20 sites, you can load them all in here, and you can do one click updates and some backup and restores. And one of the coolest things on the site is if you go to the tour section, take a tour. I don't know how they built this. Maybe there's an app or a service out there that does it. But the tour itself is actually really, really cool. Like the way they highlight one feature of the screen and you click next and it goes to the next feature. And it just kind of walks you around the screen and the different services and features available and walks you through exactly how it works, which is a really, really cool tour. One of the cooler tours I've seen. But anyways, it looks promising. The service itself is free. And it sounds like it will remain free, and they're going to actually start making money off these premium add-ons that they're going to release. But as of right now, they don't have any, but they're coming. So you can sign up for free, set up your sites, do upgrades across all your sites in one stop. So it looks pretty handy, so definitely keep an eye on that Infinite WP.
Cool. Dre.
Dre's going to rock another shameless plug. Security. Is hiring. So if you are interested in working with some security geekery, take a look at our company employment page on security.net, and we have a position open for a senior security support analyst. That is all.
I need to make sure I get that link. Here we go. I'll drop it in the chat for you.
Mr. Cohen, anything from you there, big man?
Sure. We're hiring, too, if that wasn't obvious from before, in all areas. All areas. But let me produce something of value. So there's a free tool that I think is really cool, and a lot of people know it, not everyone, though. It's called webpagetest.org, webpagetest.org. You go there, you put in your URL and hit enter, and you get a very detailed analysis of how your site comes up in a browser, and you may say, "Well, I have Yahoo, I have YSlow, and I have, and that kind of thing, so I don't need this." But what's nice about this is the problem with YSlow is that the connection to your particular browser on your particular internet connection is, of course, involved in that, whereas this isn't. It goes over the internet backbone, and yet it throttles it as if it were behind, for example, a cable modem, and therefore it's a more accurate general representation and repeatable representation as opposed to YSlow. And it has a lot more data than YSlow has, and it's free, and you can use it as much as you want, so that's nice. We help pay for this, actually, because you'll notice if you go there, there's a lot of locations that you can run this out of, which is cool. So you can see like how slow is my site from Japan and why. Maybe in Japan it's slow because of latency and so forth, and maybe it's fast from Dallas, and you can do all that from there. And the way you sponsor this site is you pay for and run one of the servers that they do it on. And so we run the Japan one, which is kind of fun. So I guess that's why I used that example. But anyway, so it's just something we kind of do for the community, because again, it's a free tool and so on. And there it is. And a lot, you can use that to make your site faster. Sometimes you can see things like, oh, I should use WP Minify to get rid of some of these CSS and JS files, because it really is mattering to me in my initial page load time. Or, man, I didn't realize the Facebook Connect stuff was killing my performance so much. That's interesting. Or, oh, man, my HTML is slow. I should try to cache it. Or any number of things. So great free tool, webpagetest.org. It's run by a guy who then got hired by Google, so I guess technically Google runs it, but you can't see Google's logo on there, so it's okay.
Man, I think that is a brilliant add-on to Bartrix, this week's segment on tips for
you and
your
website. That's our official segment now, Bartrix.
I've
refreshed my
entry. We'll change it next week. We can have one sponsored weekly. We should bring in a sponsor just for our tip segment. Folks, this is episode 11 of WP Late Night. We had guest host Jason Cohen, the founder of WP Engine.
And Smart.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much for all the tips today, Jason. Guys, you were super kick-ass. Anything else coming from you guys today, or can we roll it into the aftercase?
Yeah, that probably does it for us. We will stick around for those in the chat room and listening on the stream. We'll stick around for the after show, which we'll post onto the site as well. But you just listened to all of the essential information for tonight's WP Late Night. So we'll kick it over there. And thanks again, Jason, for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks.
Hey, this was a blast. Thanks. And, you know, any excuse to sit here with a glass of Hendrix, which I've refilled more than once during this interview, is good. So happy to come back anytime, even though I've sort of bogarted the conversation.
Oh, no.
It was awesome, man. No, good stuff.
Happy to have you anytime. All right. Thanks to the chat room and everybody else. And we'll see you on the after show and next week for WP Late Night number 12.
And checkmate.